Our scripture reading this morning comes from Exodus verse 24. It's actually in your pew Bible in page 68 if you'd like to follow along, or it should be on the screen as well. It says page 70. I could read all the way to 70 if you want. No, I didn't think so. No, he says no. So, starting with verse 12 in Exodus, or 24, verse 12 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson is some of the words of God in the midst of the people. We honor that by standing, if you're comfortable doing that, and if you can hear better standing. If you can hear better sitting, that's certainly all right as well. How far am I going here? Okay. This is Matthew 17. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There's a neighbor. You know, it takes two to make one. One is very, very religious, knowing his God, pray every morning, giving to the church for outreach, missions. And she makes it as happy to come out to her front porch every morning. Pray, devotion. But the other part, not a bit. She doesn't trust God. There is no God. There is no Lord. And every morning when she hears her neighbor, she yells out, "There is no God. There is no Lord. You waste your time." And this particular morning, the religious neighbor walks out to the porch, and she saw there's grocery at the door. And she started praying, "Thank you, Lord." And the neighbor, "There is no Lord for having the grocery at my door. There is no God. You're wasting your time. And thank you, Lord, for making the devil pay for the grocery. Get out, Lord. Laumare mafmafi. Ha'o'a'a hiokakai. Kokoibe nai tupuai ho maungahi atamai. Ha'amua mehai mihelangi. O tufa ke maufonuai. Tohi fuhange ha'ahau. Ki o maungahi atamai. O ngauhi ke kere kere tau. Ae funga makani. Before I go on to my sermon, I want to thank you for allowing me to thank Pastor Peter for the opportunity. You know, flying to the South Pacific, it takes 13 hours. This sermon may be about the same. So fasten your seatbelt and enjoy the ride. The preceding chapter closes with the disciples were still hurt, bewildered, by the insistence of Jesus that he must go to Jerusalem and to be humiliated, to be treated like criminals, to suffer, to be crucified, and to die, and be risen on the third day. It must have looked to the disciples as if there's nothing but black shame. But the whole atmosphere from start to finish, the keynote of this whole incident, known as Mountain of Transfiguration, is glory. Glory. At Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Some replied, "John the Baptist," some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. "But who say you that I am?" And Peter triumphantly, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And according to our reading, the gospel that was read, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a very high mountain. And there's a tradition, Mount Tabor connects with the transfiguration of our Lord. But that is entirely unlikely. Mount Tabor is not very high. But on top of it, there's an armed fortress. And there was a castle. Unlikely. The incident didn't happen there. Mount Hermon. More likely that the transfiguration happened there. Why Jesus went there? Luke 9:29 said that Jesus went there to pray. To pray to see if God allows him to go to Jerusalem. To see what he is about to do. For in Jerusalem, there's a cross to be carried. In Jerusalem, there's a crown of thorn to be worn. In Jerusalem, there's a multitude of sinners to be redeemed. There's a criminal in Jerusalem to be released. There's four witnesses in Jerusalem to answer for. And there's a lot more which we don't have time to talk about. But in Gethsemane, Jesus prayed to the Father, "If it is your will to pass this cup from me, nonetheless, to do your will, not mine, go. Everything will be okay." The future is upon us now. Glory. Peter, James, and John saw Christ, the Son of the living God, transfigured right in front of their eyes. His face shined like the sun. His clothes white as the light. Glory. And then Moses and Elijah appeared and they were talking. They were talking about what? And it is fascinating to see in how many respects the experiences of these two great leaders of the people and servants of God matched the experience of Jesus. Both Moses and Elijah had their most intimate experience of God on a mountaintop. Moses, when he came down from Mount Sinai, his face shines. And he went up to Mount Sinai to receive the tables of the law. Elijah at Mount Horeb found God not in the wind or in an earthquake, but a still small voice. Their deaths. Moses at Mount Nebo, a lonely death. God himself, the barrier of this great man. And no one knows of his sepulcher until this very day. For Elijah, he took his departure from Elisha in a chariot and horses of fire. The two great figures who appeared to Jesus as he was setting out for Jerusalem were men who seemed too great to die. And behold, Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus about what? And again, Luke 9:31, they were talking about of his disease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Disease is a Greek and an English word, which is exodus. Exodus is the departure out of Egypt into the unknown way of the desert, which in the end lead to the promised land. That is precisely what Jesus was doing, was going to do. Trusting in a God, he was going on a journey beset with perils, journey involving a cross, but a journey issuing glory. The two great figures signaled to Jesus to go on. It witnessed to Jesus that he was on the right track. appointing to go out on his exodus to Jerusalem and to Calvary. But there was more than that. The luminous cloud which overshadowed over them. The luminous cloud stands for the Shekinah of God, nothing less than the glory of Almighty God, nothing less than the presence of Almighty God. If he is present, he lives. And if he lives, he dwells among us. Moses died about 4,000 years before. Elijah died 9,000 years before. They see them. They live. And then our God, he lives, same yesterday, same today, and same tomorrow. And if he lives, he wants us to live. There's this pastor and his son. They make it Wednesday, a day for them to go out and deliver the church pamphlet to the community. This particular day, it's a rainy day, and the son yells out to his father, the pastor, "Let's go." And the pastor said, "Since it's raining," he said, "go ahead. I have something else to do." And he came to this house, the son, he came to this house and knocked at the door. Once, twice, three times, no answer. And he leaves the door, about to go onto the street. Something is kind of urging him, "Go back, go back." And he went back. And when he about to knock for the fourth time, the door opens. And he gave the lady the pamphlet. The very next Sunday, this lady went to church. And he was asking for a time to bear his testimony. I'm not quoting, but let me say what she was saying. She heard the knock at the door, the first, the second, and the third time, she was on a stool, standing with the noose already there. The tension is tight. And then something tells me, "Go to the door, go to the door, go to the door. There's someone waiting for you." And when the door opens and the pamphlet is given, she read through the whole pamphlet and she came across something like this: "Come unto me, come unto me, and I will give you rest. When my husband died, I don't have any world, empty. I lost everything. And that's why I was on that stool with a noose to take my life. Now I know that God lives. And he wants me to live." The instruction of Peter. While Jesus, Moses, and Elijah were talking, Peter interrupted. "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If it is your will, let us make three shelters, one for you, for Moses and Elijah. Interrupted. My grandson. Every time I talk to my wife or to my daughter, to my son-in-law, or to whoever I talk to, he interrupted. And this is what I tell him. Grandson, every time I talk to whoever, don't you ever interrupt me. And I thank the Lord, he obeys. And when these three figures talk, Peter interrupted. Peter see the glory of Jesus, the glory of Moses, the glory of Elijah. The future is here. Peter thinks, I am at home. I am at the kingdom. Forgetting what Jesus told him in the preceding chapter, that I'll be on my way to Jerusalem to be humiliated, to be dead. Peter thinks, I am at home. Peter wants to prolong the glory. Let's stay here. Let me build shoulders. One thing I'm so happy about this passage, that the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, recognize Elijah, recognize Moses. I'm thinking about something like this. Are we to recognize each other in heaven? Even though we don't recognize each other here? And again, Peter is a man of action. The man who wants to do, to be doing something. But there is a time for us for contemplation. There is a time for us to wonder. There is a time for us for adoration. And there is a time for us for old reverence. In the presence of the supreme glory. Or maybe it is for us, we are too busy trying to do something when we would be better to be silent, to be listening, to be wondering, and to be adoring. In the presence of God. After the apostle heard the voice, "This is my son whom I am well pleased," listen to him. They fell on their face and were sore afraid. The scripture reading says, Jesus walked over and touched them. Get up. In your time of trouble, Jesus walked over and touch you. Get up. When you're down and out, Jesus walk over. Get up. When things don't go well in the family, Jesus walked over. Get up. Sometimes in the church, we are so close physically, but our souls and our spirit are far apart. Jesus walks over and touches you. Get up. Revelation 7, verse 9 and on. It tells of a multitude of people that no man can number. From all nations, from all kindreds, from all people, from all tongues. They stood before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, singing and saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." Church, it is time for us to get up. We are on a journey. Our exodus from time to a home which already built. Because he wants us to be there with him in his glory. Amen.